This morning we are going to continue our study together that we've been working on through the Sermon on the Mount. And we're getting near the end. We're getting closer to the end as we go along. If you remember last week, last Sunday, if you were here, we looked at ask, seek, and knock. And we talked about prayer again. There's some themes that have come up, prayer being one of them, a number of times. And we looked at the importance of prayer, and we looked at just the idea how God is a generous God, how he's a good God, and how he wants us to come to him and to ask him for things, to intercede. And we're challenged with the question, we're challenged to leave and to consider what are the things that we've stopped asking for. And hopefully in your week as you took that and as you considered that and as the Holy Spirit moved, hopefully there was some good fruit that came out of that. But this week we get to continue in, and we sort of hit like a transition point kind of as we head to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's weird because it falls about halfway through chapter 7, but there's a little bit of a change. And as we get to the middle part of chapter 7, we're going to move towards the end. And as we do this, Jesus will begin to introduce this new way of teaching, this new sort of image or analogy he's going to use. And it's what many scholars call or consider the two-way model. And it's this way of teaching where Jesus will contrast two things, two ways, two ideas. And it begins in our passage today that we're going to look at, where we'll consider two ways or two roads. And then in the next couple weeks, we'll see as well, Jesus will talk about two kinds of fruit. He'll talk about two kinds of followers. He'll talk about two kinds of builders, these two ways. So this is an important image, an important theme to sort of keep in the back of our minds as we go and head to the end of this Jesus teachings here. And with these contrasts, Jesus is going to set up for us, and he's going to outline for us how we ought to live in light of the reality of the kingdom of God that's in our midst. He's going to give us these two ways to show us what that looks like. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning. Let's read our passage this morning, Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it." So we're going to look at this passage this morning, and we're going to look at and unpack what Jesus means when he talks about these two ways. These two ways. I'm assuming for many of us, this is a familiar passage, one that we've heard before. And as we unpack it, there are a couple different ways we could look at this, a couple different ways we could sort of read it and understand it for what it means for us. And one of the common ways that we can do that is to look at it and to say, okay, Jesus is talking about two ways. So there's one way, there's another way, and we can think about it as like a salvation. We can think about it as like an eternal destination. And we can say, okay, Jesus is outlining two ways. There's life and there's death. And we can think in that frame of mind. And that's, it's not wrong. That's probably the way that most often it's been interpreted through history. But there is another layer. This morning we're going to dig a little bit deeper and look at another layer just below that, that I think will help us as we add some nuance and add some more understanding to what this means and view it in, add just another sort of layer of color to this painting, another piece. And so it's interesting this idea of the way, or this word the way, or in most English translations it'll be the road. It's this Hebrew word, it's usually translated as like a path or a roadway. But there's another way it can be used as well, which is pretty common, and it's more of like a metaphorical sense it can be used. It can be used to talk about a physical road or path, but also someone's spiritual journey. It can be used to talk about the course of one's life as well. And so this metaphor, what it sort of outlines is that everyone, every person who's alive and who's breathing, is everybody in this room alive and breathing? Okay, good, perfect. Everyone who's alive and breathing that they're on this road or they're on this way. And as they travel down this way or this road, right, we're forced with choices, we're forced with decisions about how to walk out this journey, how to live out this journey. And there's always, interestingly enough, when it's used in this way, there's always a destination in mind. There's always somewhere where that person is going or headed, a trajectory for life. And again, sometimes it's like a real destination at the end of a real road, or sometimes it's like a person, someone in which we are becoming. It's also used in that way. And so, and this is something that's that was familiar to Jesus. Jesus is using this. It was also familiar, this way of teaching, talking about two ways or two different paths. This is familiar to a lot of people in Jesus' day. There's a Greek poem called Work and Days. And in the poem, the writer warns that the way of wickedness, is smooth and near to hand, whereas the way to virtue is long and steep and rough to begin with. So again, the same idea, the same kind of contrast. So this form of teaching, this idea of way of looking at life is pretty familiar to all of Jesus' audiences. And this is not just something that was, it's important to see, because what we also see is that in the wisdom books in the Bible, this theme and this way of interpreting wisdom, this way of interpreting life also comes up. If you think of the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs, you have the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. It's a big theme throughout the whole book, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, two ways. And then if you think of, if you're familiar with the book of Proverbs as well, you have two different ways. You can take the way towards that leads to the path that leads to Lady Wisdom, or the path that leads to Lady Folly. Okay? So all these things are sort of in the background. And as we consider this, again, it's important that we remind ourselves, anytime we come to any of Jesus' teachings, any of them, anywhere, whether it's the Sermon on the Mount, whether it's John's Gospel, whether it's Luke, whatever, that we remind ourselves and keep at the front of our minds that Jesus is actually drawing on something much deeper. He's not just making these things up that he's saying just because they're culturally appropriate or because people understand or because it's what other people at the time were doing. He's drawing on rich truths, deep-rooted truths from the Old Testament scriptures. And as Jesus says these words to his hearers, likely he is reflecting on a particular passage, among others as well, Psalms and Proverbs, but likely he has in the back of his mind Deuteronomy chapter 30. So before we really dig into the text, I want to turn there for just a moment. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, just for a moment. And this is a really interesting section. A really interesting passage. Deuteronomy 30 is the end of a big narrative section, and there's a really cool thing that goes on where Moses is talking to this new generation of Israelites. They're about to enter into the Promised Land. It's a really cool thing going on. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan, and he prepares them, and he says, when you go into the land, when you cross over the river and go into the land that God's given you, here's what you're going to do. Okay, and he outlines this. He says, go take a stone. Now, don't think like a rock. Of course, think like a monument. Think like as tall as the ceiling in here. Think like a large monument, like a big statue. Write on it all the things that I've commanded you, he says. And then he says, then you're going to take that monument that you wrote, all these commandments that I've given you on, you're going to cover it in lime. You're going to preserve it. You're going to keep it so that it lasts. And then you're going to take it, and you're going to take it to the top of this mountain, Mount Ebal. And you're going to go up there, you're going to build an altar, you're going to worship me. And then what he does is interesting is when they go, he says, then the Levites and half of the people who are up on this mountain, after we go through this worship celebration, are going to go down the mountain, through the valley, over to the other side of the valley. There's another mountain, Mount Gerizim. And they're going to line up. And so you have this picture, it's painted where you have two mountains, a big valley, and the people are facing each other. And the Israelites outline this long list of blessings and curses. And they outline these things that if the people choose to follow God and to follow and obey the things that he's commanded, then there are these blessings that will occur that God will place on them. And if they don't, there are curses that God says he will place on them. And the people come and they make this promise before God and they say, yes, we will obey. After hearing all these things, they say, we will obey. We will do all these things. And then what's interesting is we get to Deuteronomy 30. So that's like the whole leading up to this point. And then Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, this is what it says. God says, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and destruction. For I command you today that you love the Lord your God, walk in obedience to him, keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. I have set before you life and death, prosperity, destruction. So you see where we're getting at, right? You see, this is where Jesus is kind of drawing on as he brings these words to his hearers' attention, but also to our attention. As we go through this passage, we'll start with this here. Actually, what's interesting is some of you may be aware we've started a young adults Bible study on Monday nights. And we're now a couple weeks in, and we're doing this this study together here on Monday nights called Practicing the Way. It's by a former pastor named John Mark Comer, and it's really interesting. This past Monday, we had a session where we sat and we talked about and explored spiritual formation. Okay, and I just thought it was interesting and relevant to this passage as we go this morning. So he defined John Mark Comer defined spiritual formation like this. He defines it as this process by which our spirits or our inner woman or man, or maybe think of our life, or our lives are formed into a particular shape or character. And he goes on to outline that this can either be formed in the way of Jesus or formed in the way of somebody or something else. He sets up this contrast. So with the rest of the time together, I want to look at this passage a little bit. We're going to look at the passage a little bit deeper, and we're going to explore looking through this lens of formation, this lens of formation, of who we're becoming, and we're going to explore both these ways, the wide way and the narrow way, and look at how they form us, who they form us to be, and why Jesus is so adamant in saying, take the narrow way, okay? So we think about formation, we think about this idea that we're being formed or we're becoming someone or something. It's important to remember that in the same way that Jesus outlines, there's two ways that there's also two ways in which we can be formed, either unintentionally or intentionally. And just like when Jesus says there's two ways and there's no in-between, there's no middle point, it's either you're here or you're here, our formation is also the same. It's either we're being formed. That's just the way it is. There are things in our lives that are shaping us that have an impact on moving us to be someone or something, and we're being formed. And the question is whether we're intentional about that or whether we're unintentional and just allowing ourselves to be formed by these factors. So we're going to look at, just quickly, there's five, if you think about formation, there's five factors, big picture factors that form us in our lives, that shape who we are, shape who we're becoming, and hopefully this will help us as we press into the challenge in this passage here. And so five factors that form us and shape us, five of these. The first one is our habits. The first one is our habits. If you think about, these are the usual ways of behavior that we take part in our lives. It's our regular tendencies, the ways we, the just the regular occurrences that we have in our schedule. You can think of your daily routines. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you do. I don't know about you guys, but the first thing that I do when I wake up, I make a coffee, I make breakfast. It's the first thing I do. And then I sit down and I begin my morning routine of reading the Bible. That's what I do every morning. So what do you do in the morning? What do you do in the evening as well, your evening routines? You could think of your typical work day. Think of how you spend your time, the things that you do. And all these things have an impact on us. And they impact us whether we realize it or not. They begin to sort of form us, whether we realize it or not, these habits, these things that we typically go back to doing, our habits. The second forming factor on our lives is relationships. So relationships is the second way. So if you think about the relationships that you have with your family, you can think about friends, coworkers. We're always being influenced by people that are around us. And again, another story just to help kind of make sense of this. I'm sure you can all relate to this, where when I was a child, I used to hang out with a friend of mine from down the street, a couple friends down the street. And I remember coming home one night after hanging out with them, and my parents sat me down and said, "Look, Ryan, we don't like who you're becoming when you hang out with these people." Because they weren't Christians. They were a little bit, they were not great influences on me. But they were like, "We don't like who you're becoming." They're always being formed. And that's really evident in children, of course, but this also happens to us as adults. And I think we just don't pay attention to it as much. So there's always a forming that happens when we're surrounded by the people that we surround ourselves by. Now, the third forming factor is stories. These are the stories that you come to believe, the stories which you believe about yourself. And this can be based on a number of things: how you see God, what you believe about who He is, how you believe He sees you. It could be about how you view happiness and success, or how you understand what it means to have value and meaning in your life. What truly matters to you? All these things impact the story that we tell ourselves, the things that we tell ourselves, and all these stories. They come together and play a large forming factor in who we are. So that's stories. That's the third one. The fourth forming factor is environment. Think of unique cultural factors, location, the setting you find yourselves in. So this could be the location, like the city that you live in. This could be your values and priorities of your generation. It could be... For many of us, it could be the conversation that we're having in the digital world, right? We live in a world that's very real and very tangible right in front of us, but it's also like we live in a digital world in a way also. And so what conversations and where are you in that? All these forces from our environment, city, our generation, church, social media, these all are all things that can move us and form us and change us. They shape us. So that's the fourth thing, environment. And then the fifth thing is our experiences. And these are the day-to-day encounters. The encounters that we face as we live our lives, as we go about it, whatever we may be doing. Again, if you think about your family, you can think about the legacy that can be left, that you want to leave. Or for some people, it's maybe the deep dysfunction that occurs. And in this category also, we think about traumatic events from our past. The effect that all these things have on our mind, on our bodies, on our spirits, these significant moments of life change, and they shape and impact us in many ways. And on top of all of this, also included in this category would be your spiritual journey. Again, where you're at in terms of where you're at with God, what you know about Him, what you believe about Him, that also factors into here as well. And so we have all these unique experiences that form us. We have all these major ways in which when we live our life that we're formed. And as we think about all these ways in which we're formed, in ways in which we're becoming someone or something, we go to our passage and Jesus says that He gives us the direct challenge. He says, "Enter through the narrow way." He gives these two ways, and He says, "Enter through the narrow way," and He gives the warning that the path, the opposite way, the path that's wide, or the way that's wide leads to destruction, He says, and many people go that way. Again, this is a theme that comes up in the wisdom literature in Proverbs. You read Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way that leads to death." And so just like we've looked at these forces and factors that form us, It can be so easy for us if we think about it, right? There's a way in which we could just allow these things, we could just float along, and we can let all these things impact us and change us and make us into whoever we end up becoming. And we cannot give it an ounce of thought. Or we could be intentional and we could look at these things and say, okay, how do I take these things and use these things to make me and form me and move me into the way of Jesus? And in the same way, right, we have these two paths that Jesus is talking about. One which is very passive, which is wide, which is very easy to go down because it's wide. We don't have to worry about where it's going. We can see very clearly. There's lots of people, right? So we're like, okay, this must make sense. And that's the path that Jesus says leads to destruction versus the narrow way, which is harder to see. It's a little bit more difficult to travel, but Jesus says this is the way that leads to life. So Jesus in this passage says, enter through the narrow way. And as we enter through this narrow way, it's kind of funny, right? Because the way that leads to life at first seems really challenging, seems very difficult. But this is the way that he calls us to leave, to lead and to go, because this is the way that leads to life. This is by no means easy, right? Like Jesus isn't setting us up for something to say, okay, all you gotta do is just go and it's all gonna happen and it's all gonna be okay. He's like, no, like if we're pursuing the way that leads to life, it's not always going to be easy. But it's worth it in the end. It's worth it in the end. So as we look at this, we sort of have to think, okay, if we're thinking about formation, we're thinking about these factors that form us, we're thinking about this call by Jesus to take the narrow way over the wide way. And the question becomes, well, how do we do this? What does this mean? What does this look like? Because that's really where we could think about this and say, okay, yeah, there's two ways. Does it really matter which way I pick? You know, it's just a way. It's just a road. It's just a path. But it matters. It matters. So what does this mean for us? What does it look like to make these choices? Part of making these choices, and part of making this choice to follow the narrow way is to be intentional about how we're being formed. Is to think about all these factors, right? Our habits, our environment, our relationships, all these factors, these five factors we looked at, and to say, okay, we need to be intentional with those. It looks like being honest and intentional in each of these areas, and it means asking some pretty hard questions of ourselves. It means we need to consider these things and think about our habits and ask, you know, are we going to be people who are going to be unintentionally formed by our habits that we have? Are we going to be unintentionally formed by habits that lead us to hurry, that lead us to anxiety, that lead us to exhaustion, that lead us to become addicted to a number of things? Technology, food, substances, people, attention from people in some cases? Or are we going to be formed by regular practices? Practices of prayer, of reading the scriptures, of being with God, of resting in his presence, and all of this leading to lives that are unhurried, leading to lives of simplicity, of contentment, to lives of freedom, but that's only found in Christ. Again, it means we have to ask ourselves these hard questions. We have to ask, will we be formed by our relationships and the people that we surround ourselves with? Will we allow the people that we are surrounded by to define us? And will we allow ourselves to become defined by outrage, by pride, by shame? Are we going to become people who cause division, who are sarcastic, who dishonor authority? Or will we be formed by Christian community? Will we become people who are warm and affectionate? People who model acceptance, authenticity, honesty, integrity, harmony, love, compassion, unity, all these things, these ways in which Jesus outlines and models for us to live as well. Are we going to be shaped by stories? The stories that we tell ourselves, that the world gives us to believe, that lead us to feel discouraged or isolated or lonely, that lead to numbness and discontentment with our lives? Or will we be shaped by the teachings of Jesus? Will we be formed by a profound sense of meaning and purpose, resting confidently in the truth of God's word, in the truth and the identity of who he created us to be? There's value and uniqueness that are inherent, that have been given to us, that we've made, being made in the image of God. Are we going to believe those stories and those truths instead of other stories that lead us away from that? Are we going to be formed by our environment into people whose lives reflect fear and stress, insecurity, jealousy, anger, resentment? Or will we be shaped and formed by the Holy Spirit? Will we become people whose lives model and reflect the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are all the ways in which Jesus says that's where the narrow way leads. It leads to life. It leads to a way in which we can embody something that's different, in which we can live lives where we have life. Lives that contrast these things that the world seeks after, that lead to all these things: the fear, the anger, the insecurity, the resentment, this way of living that Jesus says that leads to destruction, that leads to death. It's not good. So Jesus says, take the narrow way. Jesus lays out for us these two ways. And again, this is not easy. But it's very clear, right? Jesus, he doesn't say, here's two ways, take your pick. He doesn't say, well, it doesn't really matter what way you go. He says, no, he says, the way you need to go is towards life. The way you need to go is the narrow way, not the wide way that everybody else is taking. Not the way that seems to make the most sense. Not the way that's easiest for us to just float along and be and go with the flow and all the people. Because that leads to death, that leads to destruction. That leads to life away from God and away from his purposes and away from who he's called us to be, instead of going and pursuing the kingdom of God. Pursuing the call in our lives to be salt and light, like we've looked at. Pursuing lives where we're living in these ways that we've unpacked through the Sermon on the Mount. We're living in ways that are intentionally witnessing to the kingdom of God that's in our midst. That is the narrow way. So Jesus lays out these two ways. One that leads to life and one that leads to death. And again, Jesus' call to us here is to choose life. Choose life. I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy 30 for a moment, and I'm just going to read to you. We read earlier from verse 15, but I want to read to you a little bit earlier in the passage, starting in verse 11. God says, "Now what I'm commanding you today, these things I'm commanding you, they're not too difficult for you to go, or they don't go beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor are these things beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word of the Lord is very near to you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart, so that you may obey it." See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. So I command you to love the Lord your God, walk in obedience to him, keep his commandments and his decrees. This is what's been set before us. And it's not just about, again, we can think about this, right, as I need to choose a way because it matters for where I'm going to go when I die, and where I'll end up after this life, and that's part of it. Part of it is that there is life and hope in Jesus, future hope. But part of it also is that we go and we walk and we seek obedience that leads to life, that we do these things, that we walk these things out, and that we model a way of living that lines up with the teachings that we've been going through in the Sermon on the Mount that lead us to life in Christ. Now, this is kind of a tough, kind of interesting, right? Because this is the challenge. And we're sort of left with the question. I mean, we know the right answer. Jesus has already given us the right answer. But the question still remains, right? What way are you going to choose? Because inevitably, we don't always choose the right way. And there may be, you may be here and you may be thinking, okay, this morning you may be listening to this and thinking, I've already gone the wrong way. I've already chose the wrong way. I'm way down that path. And what's really, truly incredible and amazing and beautiful is that there is another way. Is that there is another way, a way that leads to life. And there's an invitation from Jesus, if that's you, where you're thinking, okay, am I too far gone? No. You're invited to come to Jesus, and you're invited to come and to repent, to surrender your life to him, to turn around. This is really interesting. At the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount starts with this call from Jesus to repent. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That word repent, do you know what it literally means? It literally means turn around. Turn around. Turn the other way. Seek the kingdom. Seek Jesus. Seek life. This is the good news, that you can come to him and you can ask him to lead you in ways that lead to life, and you can pray to him and ask for that today. This is our challenge, the challenge to follow the narrow way, to follow the way that leads to life, that leads to flourishing, that leads to Jesus. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on our lives. And Father, for this challenge that you've given us, would you empower us through your Holy Spirit? Would you make it possible for us to follow in your ways, in the way of Jesus, that we would choose life? As we consider the ways in which the world wants to form and shape us and change us and make us into people who and form us in ways that take us away from you, away from who you've made us to be and who you've called us to be, God, we pray that that would not happen, but that through your power, God, that we would be formed and made to be more like your Son. That we would be a light in the dark world. That we would choose the narrow way, the way of Jesus. Thank you, and God, would you give us the strength? Because we can't do this on our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.